Hey, it's David Perdue, NAMS, that's Novice to Advanced Marketing System, and mynams.com. This is the second part of the Easy Kindle Publishing course that we've created today. In the first part, we had Kristen Eckstein on. She did a great job of giving us all of the information that we needed to really get started, understanding how to put together Kindle, how to start using Kindle. And we are here at the execute step. We went through, Kristen just gave us a ton of information today. It's really tough to type when you're trying to keep up with somebody like Kristen. She had a whole section on getting started and some really good tips on beating perfection and all of those other blocks that we run into. Then in the dream stage, she gave us some realistic expectations to set and how to really do a great job of shooting for consistency so that you can make those big dollars in passive income with Kindle. She took us through the steps for building a 5K per month income on Kindle, and she also took us through the steps of including your or increasing your consulting leads, which was results from direct questions from our attendees this morning. We finished up in the prototype and test phase today, where she talked about the complexity of formatting bullet points and using programmers to do that because of bullet points, images, and how those things can really mess up require some special programming help in your Kindle format. She talked about the meat grinder programs like Kinstant. There are two others that we're going to talk about a little bit later too. Both of them are Kindle. There's one called Calibre, which you do not want to use because it does not meet the criteria any longer for Kindle's format. She talked about converting from print PDFs, formatting inside Word, and we talked about looking at branding first. And then we went over to really the testing as you're doing your prototyping to make sure that you've got a market for your product. So if you are in business, she said, you know people are buying or not buying and what they're buying. You should at least know that. And that's where you start. Now, where we left off was with this testing area and being able to validate markets. And I said the first thing that we would do is come back and jump into the Amazon website to really start validating some market ideas there. So while we're getting ready, I want you to input in the question box here your niche area that you think you would like to start writing Kindle books on, or if you have a Kindle book in here and you want to show us your Kindle book, please put that in your link to that in the question box as well. Kristen is not joining us this afternoon. She was here only for the morning. That's the way we do these sessions. It is a morning deal with our guest instructors, and then in the afternoon we try to do some of the work that they have showed us how to do in the morning. So to that end, we have a couple of things that I wanted to tell you about first. And while I'm doing that, please insert your niche into the question box. Okay, so with this course, you're also getting a 10-part checklist. It's 10 different documents. Probably collapse all of those into one document that we put together that are checklist on starting your Kindle, uploading your Kindle, formatting your Kindle, writing a book, the pieces that you need for writing your book, and additional checklists that you'll be able to use and go through building out your Kindle empire. And I think those will be really helpful to you. I'll show you one of them. I think I have one of them open here. Maybe I don't. Let me see what I can find. Let's see, the checklists are in the worksheets. So like which category to choose. We have a checklist for determining which category to choose in Kindle. And we're going to cover these topics really quickly today as we go through a lot of this stuff. But you'll have these checklists to be able to go back through and follow along with. I just wanted to make sure that you knew that these are coming. Okay, so let's see. I want to get back to this guy. All right, so now we're going to go over to Kindle. And we are going to do some of the steps that we talked about in Kindle, or look at how to do those steps, at least in Kindle. So, but first off, we've gotten some people who have input their information here, the kind of things they're going to be writing about, and a couple who even have ebooks on Kindle already. So let's see. John, you asked about, would Kristen offer some good outsource referrals to get great affordable branding done? She's doing that in her challenge. So she's following up with all those people in the challenge about her outsourcing opportunities and suggestions. And she's actually revealing names and addresses of people to hook up with over there on that. So Mary Louise says her niche expertise area is boomers' health. Boomers healthy living, healthy aging, fits right in with me. John says his niche is analytics niche, and that's number one, and then the second is games. John, what kind of analytics are you talking about? Put that in the question box too, so we can look at that a little closer. And what kind of games are you talking about too? This is Rebecca. Rebecca has an author's page already set up. That's excellent. I'm going to grab that link, and we'll pop that in the box, if I can grab it. Mary has self-improvement as her niche. That's a competitive niche. Helena says she has holistic business. And Rob has divorce relationship. Divorce relationship coaching and training. And Frank says my field is self-development, especially self-knowledge. He has one Kindle book up called What's Your Problem? Know Really What Is Your Problem? The Sherlock Holmes Guide to Problem Identification. Okay, and John says, I know how to use Google Analytics to set up website owners and make more sales from existing traffic. It's his day job. Oh, good. John, we might want to actually talk to you about that as well. All right, so let's take a look over at Kindle. We're going to go over to Amazon and do a little research here. First thing I want to do is pull up Rebecca's author page, show you what an author page looks like. Okay, this is a little bit of background on Rebecca, and she has a couple of Kindle books here. Did you know whales are a lot like you? And she says this is her pen name, MRK. Okay, and she's got a book that is $2.99, 4 all positive reviews on that book, 9 all positive reviews on that book. So it looks like your area of expertise is animals. Did you know animals that hibernate in the winter? And you've jumped to the $2.99 price on all of these, and they're available for Prime, for downloading for Prime, so people who have Prime don't have to pay for these. That's great, because that gets people gets them in the hands of the people. And let's see, these also, she says, are kids books. So let's take a look inside one of them. For kids up to 6, for 6 and up. Okay. And customers bought this, also bought. There's Tara. Tara was on our call last time. And let's see, we're going to look inside this book. Now, when Kristen was talking earlier about the look inside feature. This is what she was talking about, because you can actually come to the Kindle book itself and be able to go into the book, and you'll see this has the title page, table of contents, aren't they fish? So it starts right in, and it has pictures. It's nicely formatted. And you come to the end, and it says buy now. So you're doing no list collection here, from what I can tell, Rebecca. Is that right? You don't have an opt-in in the front end. You might have it in the book somewhere. Okay, yeah. You can always go back and add that and re-upload the book, correct? Now, the thing that I wanted to point out about Rebecca's book that I like already is that it's a series, and the Did You Know series, Volume 2. So Did You Know is the title of her series. So, you know, she's doing much what Kristen was doing in creating a series that is ongoing. And I also noticed that her other book had the same type of cover set up. And she says, oh, good. She says the third book will be out before Christmas. And is this in the same series, Rebecca? You're staying in this series? Okay, good. Wells are a lot like you. Nice looking book cover, because it is, I'm trying to get it so that we can put the whole thing on the screen here, because it is eye-catching, you get all of the image is the dominant thing on the page. And the type, the headline of the book is big enough that you can read it, even as a small book image. You can see the headline of the book pretty easily. This one is all about, the third one is, she says, is going to be all about dolphins. This one's all about whales. Okay. Is there a print book? This would be the match, part of the match thing. So if there's a print version of it, that tab would be active up here. Okay. Now what we want to do is look at some of the niches that we have going on. This is a children's book niche. Let's go see what's really selling in the children's book niche. Oh, wow. Rebecca says that she only started doing this 30 days ago. So congratulations. You've got two books up in 30 days, and you're going to have a third in a week. Nicely done. Very nicely done. Okay, so let's go back over to... This is the categories. Now, I'm just going to do this from logging in from the beginning so you can see how I got there. First off, if you're not an Amazon Prime member, you got to be an Amazon Prime member. Amazon Prime is the best thing to happen. It's just one of the best opportunities on the planet. Be an Amazon Prime member. You get to check out a lot of books and take a look at those books for free, and you get all kinds of benefits with Amazon Prime. I can't say enough about Amazon Prime. All right, so the way I found the bestsellers was to just type it in the search box, and you see it comes up bestsellers here. So if I type in bestsellers in Kindle, then I can go right to that. Okay, gives me the categories, any category over here, and the Kindle store, it starts with suspense and thrillers, and this is all fiction. So I click on more, Kindle ebooks, and then how did I get to the category? I wanted to do a search, an advanced search. So I go to the advanced search here at the top. Hope you can see this. Here's the advanced search. And I want to choose children and teens. We're going to look at some of the competition for Rebecca's books. Okay? So we're going to put in whales. And we're going to look at, we'll leave it the way it is because it says children and teens. We don't want the three-year-old, but we'll leave it there anyway. All languages, published date, we don't care about. Let's look at best-selling. We do a search. Okay, here are some of the competitors to that book on whales. So we see that whales, amazing pictures and fun facts on animals in nature. This is by Kay Da Silva. She's got 38 reviews. These are bestsellers. A Whale Who Dreamt of a Snail, William Humbach. 18 reviews. Lots of whale books here for kids. Mermaids to the Rescue. And here's Rebecca's book on this page. Did you know whales are a lot like you? So that's Rebecca's book. Now, if we wanted to see what's being published and has the best reviews, we go back to our advanced search. What we discovered from that page alone is that there's a market for this, right? Because there's a lot of whale books out there. And having a lot of competition is a good thing because you know that people are buying those books, right? So we're going to do whales again here, and we're going to look in children and teens. And this time we're going to look at average customer review. Very funny, John. John says this is a whale of a category. Very funny. Okay, so average. These are not necessarily by bestseller, but they are by best reviewed books. Now this one, if I remember correctly, was number two as well, and that was that has 18 reviews and all fives. This is National Geographic, all fives on dolphins. Now, I wonder why that showed up when we did whales as our category, because we... Whale of a Tale, that's why. Because the Splat the Cat, A Whale of a Tale. So it must have something to do with whales in it. And as we scroll down to the page, see a lot of the same books, but by average reviews. Now, I would assume that it is by the quality of the reviews and the number of the reviews. So Rebecca has four reviews on that book. I think it was four. So it's probably on the next page. We're on the third page. I don't see Rebecca's book yet. And it could be because it's brand new. There it is. Did you know? So it's on page three with four reviews. But the quality of the reviews are really good. But the other ones have... So this one has 10 five stars. Rebecca has four, three five stars, and one four star review. So the quality of the reviews is going to really impact where you land on the page when people do their searches. Kristen didn't talk about the reviews, but she will talk about the reviews a lot, I'm sure, because it's important to have really good reviews on your books. So we're going to come back to the advanced search again. If I type in whales, what else can we discover from whales and our search? So our subjects were children and teens. We can look for prices, high to low. You can get your pricing ideas here. And you can get publication date. So what are the latest ones? Books that have been by published date. Let's look at it. The latest book by published date. So that you can see how many are being published and when they're being published. So this one is brand new, has no reviews. It's also $20. This is from A Mermaid Tale Sparkling Collection. So this is a collection of books, and it's $20. $10.99 book, April 3rd, 2014. These are not even published yet. So these are coming out. These books are coming out. Okay. This one is December 17th. That's 2 days ago. We haven't looked at price. We haven't looked at much of anything yet. We're just really getting a feel for the market. Okay, so now we're going to go back after, now that we've got a good idea of how heavy this market is, because you're getting a lot of activity. You're getting more and more whale books coming out. So there's four scheduled for April, one for January, and one, I thought I saw one for December 30th in there somewhere. Maybe not. But in any case. So now let's go back and look at advanced search again. We're going to put in whales. We're going to look at children and teens again, and we're going to look at priced high to low. Now, we'll come back to best-selling again as well, but I want to see what the highest prices on the books are so that we can just get an idea of which ones are doing the best, which ones are selling and what the price points are that they're selling at. So do we see any of our best sellers in the review area? So this one has 4 reviews, 3, 5, and 1, 4, and it's a $14.99 book. Let's scan out just a little bit to make sure I got all this. $14.99 book. This one is $13.58, 3 reviews. Been out since May, and it has only 3 reviews. This one's been out since November 1st, so it's fairly new, and it has 4 reviews on that price. Then the price starts dropping. This $12.43 has no reviews. Oh, wait, that's coming out April 1st, 2014. Okay? But it's going to be a higher-priced book. Now, notice these books that are coming out later. Remember, we saw these earlier, that they're coming out in April 2014. 3 books that are coming out in April 2014. They all have higher prices. So it could be a pricing strategy where they're going to drop their prices when they come on, or just start high and test the market is what they're going to do. So these books are out. This one has 21 reviews. It has been out since April 12, 2010 at $9.99. One review, $9.99. Now, reviews don't tell you everything you need to know about the popularity of a book, but it's a good indicator. $9.99, one review. $9.99, one review. Looks to me like the higher priced books are not doing all that well in well, W-E-L-L, in the whale category. A lot of $9.99 books there. And it also looks like they put these books up at $9.99 and kind of walked away and left them. One of the things we talked about earlier was pricing and the return on pricing. We're going to start a little spreadsheet and come back to it in a minute. Because it's really simple to figure this out. Let's just do this on the fly real quickly. Okay, so we're going to put a couple of prices in here. Okay. The percentage... Let's see, what was the percentage on the $2.99 and above? I think is 70%. Royalty, and the 99 was 30% royalty. Isn't that right? Or was it 35? I can't remember. But we're just going to say that those are the percentages. And let's... Price, royalty, and units. Okay. So, and the profit. Let's always put the profit in here. So, units we'll just do some what ifs here. Let's say that we did 10 of 9.99, 20, 4.99, 30, 2.99, and 100 at 99. Okay? So we can easily do 100. Doesn't change it. I just like it better. Okay, so you can sell a whole lot of books. Now if you're obviously, if you're doing lead generation, it makes a lot more sense to do the 99 cent book at the lower rate. Okay. You're not making nearly as much money on it. But if lead generation is your point, you're getting 100 versus 10, right? So would it be better to have, of course it's going to be better to have 100 selling at $2.99 and you make $2.09 on that 100 versus if you stuck to your price at $9.99 and you only sold 10. I mean, this is just a no-brainer kind of thing. So these are the kind of numbers you want to run, though. But if you looked at what we just looked at the price of the books, people are not looking at this. They put out a price and they think, oh, I wrote this book, it's going to be $9.99. I'm not going to sell it for $9.99, less than $9.99. And often that's the ego that's talking right there. What you really want to do is price your book and follow the price. Now, the reason we're looking at this spreadsheet right here, and the reason it's such a simple little spreadsheet is that when you put your book out and you put it out at a price, let's say you do 99 cents first. You see what your sales are. Let's say your sales are going to be, you do 20 sales on that book at 99 cents. Then you raise it to $2.99. That puts you in a different category, and if your sales are 10 units on that book, then you're just looking at the difference, and this is called price testing. So now you know that at $2.99, fewer books makes you more money. Fewer books makes you more money. If you go to $4.99, and you do the same number of books, that's pretty obvious. You're going to make more money. What about if you do 5 books or 8 books, let's say? 8 books, you make more money. You've got fewer sales than $2.99, but you have more return. So you jumped it to $9.99, and you can change your price all the time, and it really is just price testing. That's all you're doing, is price testing. 3 books at $7.99. didn't do very well. It's $16.78. So you would go back. What you do is you test and you figure out where your best return is, not your most units sold, unless it's a lead generation. You're really looking at units sold for lead generation. And if it's a lead generation, you want to do the prime so that people can borrow your book and get into the signups in the prime, because they get it for free in the prime. But if you want to sell the book and make money from the book, you always look at what the profit is, what the return is on the different units. And to do that, you want to test that price. And to test that price, you probably want to change the price every 3, 4, 5 weeks. Give it time to sell to get enough numbers that you can actually make some decisions based on those numbers. And then you end up understanding where your book needs to be price-wise. And you can get the maximum for the price of your book by doing that. Okay. All right. So now we're going to take a look at a couple of other niches to see if they are good niches to get into. So we heard Google Analytics was John's. I'm going to put Google Analytics in here. And I'm not going to choose a category, although I probably could. Okay, I'll choose computers and internet. That'll be our category to start with. And let's look at the best selling. John, do you have an author, by the way, that you would see as a competitor? Let's look at an author an author name in there and see what we can find as well, somebody that you'd want to compare it to. Okay. Bestseller has 189 reviews. Social media marketing, and he must have used keywords of Google Analytics in his keywords as well. PPC is going to show up because analytics plays a big part in PPC. $2.99 book, four, it drops pretty fast. So this was from December. These bestsellers drop pretty fast in that niche. So it may not be, now this is Perry Marshall with Google AdWords, and Perry's book is a high-priced book, $11.99 for Kindle. And I actually have the hard version of this at $25. But as you can see, some of these get pretty expensive. Here's Web Analytics, The Art of Online Accountability, Science of Customer Centricity. And this one is $22.99 and has really good reviews, 93. So that is 81 5 stars and 9 4 stars, nothing below a 4 star. Okay, and that's from 2009 though. So I'm wondering if that is selling as much now as it would have back then, because there's a lot of stuff has changed. Advanced Web Metrics. This is a category, obviously, where the prices are going to be pretty much higher. And you're going to have a stiffer competition, I would think, John. Yeah, so that guy that you just mentioned, did I not just see his name here? I think he was the one that was 2009. Yeah, here. There it is. Okay. I'm going to capture that. Now we can search and see what else this guy's got in this category, if he has anything else in this category, and see what kind of material he has. Okay, subject computer and internet. Just do a search on that. Okay, he's got several books. No, he doesn't. These are competitors' books. Okay, so there's the one book of his and competitors' books below. Okay, this one is 2012. All right, so let's see if we can figure out a way for this to be a better niche for you, John. If there's a way to test this niche, let's look at analytics instead of Google Analytics in computer and internet. And we'll sort by best selling. Now, John, is your niche small business, or is it okay? So you are really focusing in on, John says, I don't want to teach website owners analytics. I want to show them where the money reports are and how to quickly build them in Google Analytics. Okay, so that's not really Google Analytics then, is it? It is more about implementing better ROI funnels or something. So, okay. What kind of keywords would you want to use for finding a niche where you think this would be most helpful? So internet marketing is a huge niche. We'll just take a look there. Internet marketing. Conversion rate optimization, landing pages. Those are a couple of other keyword phrases he was talking about. Okay. This one is just off the chart right now, which is jab, jab, right hook. It's got 118 reviews, 94, 5, 16, 4, and 6, 3. Okay. Platform getting noticed in it. Okay, so these are not analytics focused. These are how to market online. Turning visitors into customers is probably the closest to that. Now, that's a $4.97 book, has one review. Kindle Money Machine. Okay, so let's see if we can find hone in on this a little bit. Let's just say analytics. Okay, this is week six. This is a series. This is 26. Huh, we'll have to take a look at that. Come back to that one. Okay. Some of these, I don't see a lot of opportunity here. You're going to have to sexy up your topic a lot with customer conversion kind of stuff. Of course, this is just the category that we're talking about here, or this keyword phrase. So let's talk about customer conversion. Still came up with this one, keeps coming to the top. That guy must own stock in Amazon or something. The customer creation equation, that's a pretty good title. That's the other thing you want to look at, is some of these titles. And this book is $9.99. Got 33 reviews. That's pretty good for a $9.99 book. Customer conversion optimization, $23.15.49. Pretty good. You're getting some ideas for how to make your book more appealing through the headline is everything, right? I mean, that's what we're seeing here. Let's go over and see if we can figure out anything else here from our advanced search. Computers, internet. Okay, and let's see by average customer review what we get here. I thought about the business category, but it was business and investing. We could look there too, but that would be another category that you'd want to look in as well. But most of your people who are going to be doing analytics are mostly online, I would think. Okay, customer creation comes to the top there for average reviews. So that one's getting the best reviews. That's good to know. That may be a book that we get to do a comparison. Brian Massey. Convert designing websites to increase traffic and conversion. Turning visitors into customers. Okay, there you go. So that's a good place to start. Yeah, this was by review, by average review. All right, so now I'm going to go back up here and take a look at somebody else. We have sorry, just one second. Frank, I think, had self-development. Rob has divorce relationship. We're just going to take a look at one more. I'm going to look at divorce. We haven't looked at one of the self-help kind of areas yet. We'll take a look at the divorce. Let's go over to the advanced search. Divorce. Subjects be advice, how to would be one area to look at. Parenting and families, another area to look at. And by best-selling. How to improve your marriage and reignite attraction and enhance communication. This is a $2.99 Kindle book, 11 reviews, best-selling. How to rekindle an unhappy marriage. 26, out through the indoor. Huh, I don't know why that would be best-selling. So there's lots of opportunity here, it looks like. There's lots of books, but how are the sales? That's the thing we want to know. It's how are the sales? So. And you don't, of course, you don't get those numbers. You have to extrapolate what the sales are by looking at the reviews and by which are the best selling and how long they've been out. So a book that is out since December the 11th and has 11 reviews is probably selling more right now than this book that has 26 reviews, but it's been out for 8 or 9 months. So this is obviously getting to be more popular because it's up there. Look at the price on the books, though. Most of them are under $9.99. Most of them the $2.99 area. Okay. Related searches, divorce-free Kindle books. Those people looking for free books. Divorce recovery. So you get a good idea of what some of the other searches are that are being looked at for this. All right. Okay. Rob says he's been looking at alternative divorce versus traditional divorce. So let's see if there is a category for alternative divorce. And is that alternative divorce or alternative to divorce? I guess that'll make a difference when we look. Meeting the challenges, moving on. December 10, 12. Yeah, that does not look like a very good keyword here. Okay. All right. Now, one of the things that we talked about as well was we've gone through and looked at validating your market. Make sure that you've got a market. You do that from your business as well as looking at Amazon. Let me find out where I am here. So on my execute thing. Okay, so now when we start executing your book, when we start building your book, I've got some suggestions for you. I've got a lot of experience with writers, and some of these tips have kind of embedded themselves with me and other writers who really need motivation to get a book done. And one of the things that I've noticed is that people who start with a cover, believe it or not, instead of the book or even an outline, have something that they can put on their desk and can move forward with pretty quickly, because it's very motivational to see your book cover on the wall in front of your computer or wherever, and wherever you work, and you know what you're working for. So if I were you and I was starting out, the first thing I would do is get a book cover done. I came up with a draft title for the first book that I wrote and sent it right off to get the book cover done. And I had a book cover that was my screensaver on my computer. I didn't have the book yet, but I had a screensaver that was my book cover. It's professional looking. It's just one cover. You don't invest a lot of money in it. This is one of those things you can have done at a cheap place like Fiverr or something, just as a draft, just as an idea. I think I paid $97 for the one that I had created from a professional designer, though, and it actually is the one I ended up using for the book. And I put it on the wall, and I set it out there in front of me so that I could move forward with that book. It just kept me motivated to get that book done. Then you get all the elements in the right place, the branding, the title, the subtitles. You want to make sure that you have all that stuff gathered. So you start working on the branding for your book or your series. Like Kristen said, it's really good to have your colors and your images chosen first. Then you come up with the titles. What's going to be the title of your series? You want to spend a lot of time on that. You want to do some kind of small focus group. If you've got a customer group, you want to do some kind of a blind test so that people give you some real live feedback on the titles that you're going to use for your book, especially if it's the series title, because you're going to be stuck with it once you choose it. The title that I did for my first book was terrible. It was a negative title, and a lot of people told me that the book was a downer just from the title. And it wasn't a downer, and it was a good read, and people liked the book after they got it, but you don't want the book title to fight against the sales of your book. So you want to get a lot of input about your title. And the subtitle is the piece that tells everybody what it's about. That's your long version descriptor. And the subtitle is where you want to put that in and really get people interested in your book. The title is the attention grabber. The outline, you start with an outline next, and the outline is to you want to limit the research to the outline elements that you've created. So, for example, if you know that you're going to have 10 chapters, and your 10 chapters are on 10 specific topics, you don't want to go researching stuff outside of those topics. That's just not good. You waste a lot of time doing that. It may be that you find stuff that you want to collect into a different book, and you put that aside into a different folder, into a different file, and come back to it as a second version of the book or something like that. But stick with your outline. Once you've got your outline started, at least at the higher level, stick with the chapter outlines and research only those. Then you check facts. So if you've got something that you're sure is a fact, go out and check that with multiple sources to make sure that you're not just dreaming it. It may be something that you heard and incorporated it as a fact. No PLR. This is straight from Kindle's KDP page. No PLR. It's against the Kindle's terms of service. You want to know what the terms of service are. You want to read the terms of service and become very familiar with it. They have a lot of restrictions. In your book, then you want to start telling stories in your book, using anecdotes and personal information. Things that people have told you, case studies, all of those kind of things. Now, Terry Dean is an outstanding storyteller, so read Terry's emails to get good information, good examples on that. You can get our storytelling course at MyNAMS, which is really good for teaching you how to tell stories as well with a 7-step process. The last thing is you want to write with one voice. You want to make sure that your writing is in your voice. It is in your the voice that you choose. And it doesn't have to be your speaking voice. It doesn't have to be who you are. It may be your pseudonym's voice. But you want to make sure that your writing has just one voice. So, for example, you don't want to start out in chapter one talking about how this happened to you, and this was my experience, and in chapter two, you start using a passive voice about how this will happen to them. You just don't want to make that disconnect. You want to make sure that you have the same tense, the same viewpoint throughout the entire book. And then you choose your Kindle category. Now, we looked at Kindle just a second ago and did some of those category choices there, but that was just broad category choices up there. We want to take a look at Kindle category choices. And you can see here that when I did the search for divorce, it shows me all the different category choices in the sidebar here for relevant to that. So in divorce, We had dispute resolution, divorce, divorce separation, family law, love, romance, arbitration, negotiation, meditation, health and fitness, clinical psychology, and let's see. Let's choose another category. If we choose Kristen's raw foods category. These are the categories for her niche. Natural foods, vegetables and vegetarian, cookbooks, food and wine. Now, if I click on that, there's going to be a lot more categories there as well. Diets, healthy living, culinary arts, vegetables, low-fat diets, nutrition, Kindle e-books, Kindle blogs. Okay, so let's cookbooks, food and wine, natural foods, vegetables, vegetarian, healthy. Some of the same categories are subcategories for the cookbooks, food and wine. Okay. Shows you some of the main authors in this category too, as I have chosen here. One of the things I didn't show you when I was over here was the Kindle bestsellers of the day. And I want to do that. So let's do a search here. I'll come back to the main page. Do a search here of bestsellers in Kindle Store. And the number one bestseller of Kindle right now is The Book Thief. And you can see here we have bestsellers in New York Times, bestsellers in Kindle Books, bestsellers 2013. And I chose Kindle Books, so I'm in the Kindle store. The bestseller so far is The Book Thief. Now, these are going to be monster books in most cases at the top. So like David Balducci, John Grisham, Gillian Flynn, Gone Girl. It's been up there forever. It's got 14,000 reviews. The title of this is Runaway Bestseller. That's funny, because the other day I actually thought, you know, it'd be interesting to have a book on Kindle named Bestseller and see what happened. Well, there it is, Runaway Bestseller. And it obviously is a bestseller. We don't even know what it's about, but it's a bestseller. So they have, a lot of them have huge reviews. Inferno, so this is like a New York Times bestseller book, reviews, except in Kindle. So Mary Louise asked what enhanced means. I'm not sure. Let's take a look. Oh, Kindle edition with audio video. So it comes with audio video as well. Kindle edition with audio video. Okay. I told you about Hugh Howey. I'm just going to show you quickly Hugh Howey. His page, or his books. I'm reading this one, I think it is, right now. Yeah, I'm reading Dust right now. It's the third one in the series. 1,500 reviews on that one. I've read Shift. It's got 998 reviews. This is the series. And you can see all the books in the Wool series. You can see this is Wool, Wool 2, Wool 3, Wool 4, Wool 5, and First Shift. So these Wool books became this book, and it's a number one bestseller in science fiction. 7,000 reviews, $5.99, $250,000 a month this guy's making. So look at what he's done with his second book, which was Shift. So he's got First Shift, Second Shift, Third Shift. He's even raised the price. They're $2.99. These are just short versions of the main book. So he's rolling these out as series and then building the main book around them. Okay. And if you want to see a website that really is a great author website, especially for a Kindle seller, you need to model this. We've got a couple of things on our site that I stole directly from his site, because he does it so well. You'll see on our right sidebar these days, you'll see progress meters, And I got that right here. These are the books that he's working on, and it tells you how far along done he is on these books. And when you click on that progress meter, it takes you to a sales version, a sales page of his latest book. So that's pretty cool that that happens. He writes every day on his blog. Here's all of his books, and you can learn more or buy now directly from the sidebar for all of those books. And he does a weekly mail open on video. So he's very interactive with his readers. And he writes almost every day. It's amazing. Wherever he goes, he writes. So he's very active. I didn't want to get sidetracked too much on that, but I did. Okay, now on uploading... Once you choose your Kindle category, and the more refined your category choice is, the better chance you have of becoming a bestseller in that category. And if you're a bestseller in that category, you get to say you're a bestseller. And when you get to say you're a bestseller, then you get to start driving people into your best-selling book, and it starts driving you up that category. So you start becoming, you can reap the benefits of being a bestseller in a smaller category in the larger umbrella categories above. Okay. So when you upload your book, you're going to upload the format we talked about was Kindstant, and there's also Kindle Format 8 and Kindle Gen, which are the format tools. And Kindle actually has on their KDP page a lot of information. This is the KDP page. Let me just send you here. I'll put this in the question box and also in the chat box. This is the Kindle Direct Publishing page. It has a lot of information on it about how to get involved with Kindle directly. So you can see here we have setting up your account, announcements, feature guides, building your book for Kindle, guide to Kindle content quality. You'll find the terms of services on this page, preparing your book, their recommendations for comparing your book, for preparing your book, for publishing your book, all of that. So as you can see, there's lots of information here, lots of facts, FAQs. Kindle Select, Kindle Matchbook, sales and royalties, formatting, publishing. You can find a lot of answers to your questions on this page. Okay. You can also download your previewers here. Let's see, upload and preview. I think it's in this category. You can download the desktop previewers. You can upload and preview here, but there's also a downloadable previewer that you can grab. Let's see, where is that? Let's see if I can find that. Yeah, here you can download the Kindle Previewer. You just grab it, download it for the Windows or the Mac. And you agree to the terms and services, you download the software, and you can actually preview the book on your computer before you upload it. So you use this tool to do that, to preview it and see what it's going to look like as an iPad or a Kindle DX or Kindle Fire or whatever else, what other formats you want to view it as. And you can also get the user guide for these things here as well. So let me drop that link in here as well. You might want to see this page. Okay. Okay, now I've got a quick PowerPoint that I want to go through, which basically is writing your book in 30 days in this PowerPoint. Now let me just make this a little bit bigger so you can see it easily. And we'll run through this quickly so that you can just get an idea of how to do this most efficiently. Some of it we've talked about. So this Why Publish a Book is about branding your business, building your credibility. We've covered most of this already. You reuse content, social media posts. 30 days, is that an extreme deadline? No, because you should have a lot of content already if you are in business. If you're not, remember we talked about how you need to be creating content on your website and establishing your expertise in the first place. So before you even do a Kindle book, you want to do that. Here's the key. If you know nothing about the subject, it will take longer to write. If you already know your business topic and have an audience, 30 days is very doable. Answer these questions. Are you an authority? Do you possess a skill or information others want to learn? This is kind of the assessment that we talked about earlier. Do you have specialized knowledge? Have you created a process or system to help others? Do you have a desire to tell a story or teach? Can you talk about your subject? You should be answering all of those questions and you'll know what niche to work in. Do you already have an abundance of information on your subject? We hope that question, that answer is yes. If it is no, you need to start creating more content. Identify your topic. Go back to your assessment. You should know from your assessment pretty much what your topic needs to be. Brainstorming the topic ideas. Go to libraries, bookstores. I love to hang out at magazine shops. I don't do that enough because I get great ideas at magazine shops, and you can always see what kind of market there is based on the number of magazines that are available. Periodicals and newsletters, you can get a lot of those online. You can also go to magazine.com, magazines, I think it is, .com with an S on the end. To see all the magazines that are available out there, and you'll get a lot of covers that you can check out. There's a lot of places online to do research on magazines. Yeah, checking out your competition, we talked about that. Make sure your topic is super targeted. Does your topic make a promise? Do you make a promise with your book? Does your title make a promise? How are you going to help somebody? How are you going to be able to guarantee them that you can help them if they follow your tactics? Is it unique? Are you guaranteeing them that they are going to do something different with your information than they're doing with somebody else's? And that can be that it's the same information, but if you have a different system in place for implementing it, that's one way of becoming unique in the marketplace. Narrow your choices and pick a name. It says here you can start writing before choosing a title, but I really encourage you to actually build a title, a subtitle, and a cover first, even if you're going to change it later, because it helps focus you in your writing process. Step two, outline and plan your book. Your goal is to write it once, make a few edits, and publish it. Identify chapter topics, identify supporting topics, frame it as a question. You're always asking questions so that you can give the answers. That way, if you control the questions and the answers, you're controlling the conversation. That's a really important point about creating your content. Create the book. Sit down and write it, and in many cases, you would be assembling it from your previous content. And assembling it, as an old editor and newspaper editor, I can guarantee you that it's so much easier to write so much easier to edit somebody's work than it is to write from a blank page. So that's a great start. Dictate it. If you can talk about it, you can write about it. Dragon, naturally speaking, converts speech into text or use a transcriptionist. I recommend transcriptionist. I've never been able to get Dragon, naturally speaking, to work the way I wanted it to. And I've owned probably 10 versions of it. So it just never really worked the way I wanted it to. But I suggest you do a transcriptionist. Hire a ghostwriter. That's another way that you can actually get books up pretty quickly. And I know we did a weekly live training with, what was her name? Rachel Roffey. With Rachel Roffey, where she does all of hers, almost all of hers are ghostwritten. And she's putting out a bunch of books, and she gets really good income every month from her books that she never writes. The whole thing is an outsourced process. You can do that. Use contributors. This is what Nicole Dean has done really well with her briefs series. She gets contributors to her blog post every week, She does a blog post on a topic every week, and then she turns it into a book, taking the best blog post and the best information, because people are relating to those expert briefs as a small how to do it kind of publication on a specific topic. So she's creating a lot of Kindle books that way and a lot of passive income that way. Repurpose your existing content. That's what Nicole is doing. Polish up your blog posts, articles, or interviews. Make sure each chapter flows smoothly. Add an element that is recently discovered or newly improved. Step four, you're not done yet. So far, you've spent 2 days choosing a title and outlining your book. 20 days actually writing it. Readers, editors, images, cover art. Maria says, how do you compensate contributors to your book, like Nicole Deans? Compensation is exposure. You don't pay people. In most cases, you don't pay people for contributing to things like that. What they're getting is exposure. I've been a contributor to probably a half dozen different books, maybe more than that, maybe a dozen. And I've never been paid for that, and I don't expect to be paid for that, because it gets great exposure for me, for my brand, and for my website. Tips for success: schedule it, edit it, create, and have confidence in your knowledge. So if you don't have confidence in your knowledge, you really have a problem to start with, because it's going to be very hard for you to write about a topic if you're not sure that you know anything about that topic. Be conversational. Write how you speak. You don't want to be stilted or academic. That's a problem. Use time pockets. Always be prepared to write when running errands. I do this all the time. So I used to commute between my home in Alabama and Atlanta. 3.5 hours was my commute. I went over on Sunday afternoon. I came back on Thursday afternoon. The 3.5 hours I learned early on was great productivity time. So I could take the 3.5 hours, and this is where Dragon naturally did work. I used their dictation app on my phone, and I would write articles between here and there by dictating into my phone. And when I got, and then I would email them to myself. And when I got to Atlanta, I'd have an article waiting for me in my inbox that I could edit and work with. And so I had 3 or 4 articles by the time I got to Atlanta. It was always a great productive time. So when you're out and about, that's a really good use of your time, if you can use the dictation application by Dragon Naturally on your phone to dictate an article or additional content. Focus on quality over quantity. Boy, this is really important. Quantity is more garbage. Quality is the gem. That's where you really want to separate yourself from other people, is by being the person who gives good information. And shorter is always better, but shorter is also harder to write. So just be aware that the more succinct you can be with quality information, the better off you're going to be. You don't need to fluff it out. Good team of contractors and employees to help you build these books. That's important. So Gayla says, I'm developing a series. I'm wondering if there could be a small section that is foundational information. Then when the series pieces are combined into a single book, the duplicates would be eliminated. Any ideas? I guess I can use my own copyrighted material and duplicate it, right? I want to have a pro- I don't want to have a problem. Oh, yeah, you can use your own material and consolidate it into a main book. That's exactly what Hugh Howey did with his, and that's what Kristen is doing with hers. Her signature book is going to be a compilation of her Kindle books. And you can write about a specific topic. What Kristen is doing is writing about a specific topic, a specific question, and loading those up into Kindle so that it is specifically on that question. Then she'll come back and she'll gather all those questions together and put those things into a single book. Nicole does that. She takes the interviews from people on the expert briefs, does smaller books, and then loads them up into bigger books. So yes, you can do that. Doesn't matter if it's identical information from the series. into the main book. Not an issue. It's your material. Okay, so I wanted to get that through to you quickly on that to be helpful with the getting your book written and doing it quickly. You're going to get a lot more information in the Kindle Challenge. You're going to get a lot more information in our challenge next month in the Insiders Group. If you're not an insider, you need to be. And you go to nams.ws/MNIC. MNIC, if you're not an insider. So let me put that in here as well. And you can actually participate in the challenge next month if you're brand new for the entire month with our $7 trial. So if you want to participate in the challenge and you're on the $7 trial, just let me know. Let's see, I've got that in there. That's there. And what else have we got? Okay, we talked about the Kindle Match program. We're still in execution. You want to make sure that you enroll in the KDB Select, and you want to enroll in the Kindle Match program. And the and we talked about pricing. We covered pricing quite a bit. So let's go over and look at the Kindle. Sorry, that came up automatically. Go over and look at the Kindle. Let's see. So here you can see some examples of collaboration with other people. And here is Conversation with Nicole Dean. That is an expert brief there. That's Nicole's book, and it was an interview with me. Here is my author's page. Here is several transcription books that we have up there. And that one's not me at all. Oh, there's an interesting thing. I put out a book a couple of years ago as a brandable report, and it may show up here. Let's see if it shows up. No, because I complained about it. Somebody took my brandable report and loaded it up on Kindle, but left my name on it. And so they were selling my brandable report on Kindle. And so I complained to Kindle. I don't know what this is, but my name showed up in that. Oh, here it is. John Perdue David. So it's not it's a John Perdue hyphen David Richmond. Okay. Now, we talked about contributors before. I'm a contributor to this book, Trust Your Heart, Building Relationships That Build Your Business. And one of the great things about your author page is this is where you can send people back to your websites, and you can have a lot of information in here. You can see here I've got my link right here. It's not a clickable link, but I've got my link right there back to my website. It's got information about me specifically here. And then you can, I'm not using the blog post over here, but I could. Post over here to drive more information, more traffic into this site. You can see that Kristen has already done that, though, with Kindle Publishing Cash with Kristen Eckstein. So she's loaded that and my name, and it comes up on my page. And then we have, these are people that we have sold books with, or we have partnered with, or who are in the same categories that I'm in. So you can also find good competitors by going through the customers also bought items by on your own page. Okay? And that would be the, you'd see Kathleen Gage here, Steve Scott. I bought some books by Steve Scott, Jeanette Cates, Connie, of course, Nancy Hendrickson, and some other folks. Okay? Now, when I do these transcript books, And I make them all prime so people can download them for free because they're link generators. When I do these transcript books, I also make sure that they are available to folks so they can grab them and bring them into their systems and set up and go. These are lead generators, is what I'm trying to say. These are lead generators for me. So I don't really care about getting any money from these books. I get very little money from these books. They're all lead generators. But when I set them up, I also set them up so that I'm co-authoring with those people. Why would I do that? Because I want whenever anybody does a search for Nicole Dean, this book comes up. That's what I want, is to be able to... I'm guilty by association with these folks, okay? All right. Let's see. So Gayla has a question here that says, so there is identical info in all the series books. Well, you're back to that question. There is identical info in Hugh Howey's books because they are chapters broken down, and then the signature book is a compilation of all of those chapters. It, by it being a compilation, it is not an identical book at all. So, okay. Now, what we're going to cover in the challenge next month, we're going to cover a lot of stuff too in the challenge in the Kindle challenge, and that is setting up your Kindle account, loading your book, formatting your books, doing all of those kind of things, and we will cover those things over the month in some Google Hangouts as well. So I'm not going to go into any of that here today, and we'll add some of those videos to this project as we keep going. So I'm looking forward to that challenge myself, not only Kristen's, but also our own in the Insiders group. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We got about 10 minutes here for questions. Anybody have any questions that we might be able to get answered for you today? Drop in any of your questions that we have. And let's see. Dane said, by voice, do you mean words like I, we, and you? I mean more like passive voice, active voice. If it's a first-person book in the first half and it becomes a second-person book in the second half, that's kind of crazy. If it's the bigger issue would be going from first-person to third-person. So that's the technical part of using your own voice. But really, I'm talking about your style. I'm really talking about the way you talk, the way you write, making it your style. One of the things about using other people's content, private label content, those kind of things, is I always try to go back through. If I'm using any private label content, I try to go back through and rewrite whatever I can so that it has my style. I have a definite style. And you have a definite style as well. Let's see. Anything else here? I'm looking through the list of things that we have not covered. Frank is asking, what's the differences between the 30-day NAMS challenge and the Kristen's course? Kristen's course is going to be much more detailed. Kristen's, we're going to assume that you know some things about putting your Kindle books together, and ours is going to be more focused on the marketing and the actual building your long-term passive income. Kristen is going to really focus on getting you up, on getting your Kindle material published, written, published, collected. She's got some real insights on how to be consistent in her passive income strategies, and that's where she's going to focus. Is it better to use the first-person point of view? That really depends, Maria. I think that it depends. I write all the time in the first person. I try very hard not to, but it's hard for me to talk about my experiences without talking about my experiences. So I talk a lot and write a lot in the first person. But if you're talking about a topic that you're using case studies of other people, it'd be really good to remove yourself as much as possible from that, unless I'm thinking about John's analytics. niche. John wants this to lead to coaching as well. So I'm assuming that he's going to want to do first person in his book as much as possible, so he is identified as the expert in that book. It's going to be really hard not to do first person in these books if you want to be identified as the expert. So I think first person is the way to go. People want to know you. They want to know what your expertise is. Okay. Let's see. Mary says, what methods do you use to build up a following and get reviews for your books? Fiverr get gigs seem sketchy and somewhat unethical. What legitimate ways do you use to drive reviews? To tell the truth, I don't do reviews. I don't do reviews, and I don't drive reviews to my my stuff on Amazon. I don't. The ones that you see on Amazon for me are older books. This one, it Trust Your Heart, that Build Your Business, got a lot of reviews on Facebook, not on Amazon. And there was a big following of this book when it launched. And the day that it launched, it actually a couple of months that it launched. Let's see where it is now. But the couple of months that it launched, after it launched, it was in the bestseller list up in the 100s for a long time. And it had a bunch of us on there as co-authors, as you can see. Let's see. Best books of the year. That's another category that we could look at. There is a number here somewhere that tells you where it ranks. And I think it is in here. Yeah, so right now it's in 510,933. That's really high. But in the month or two following the release of that book, it was in the top 600, I think it was, for business books. All Kindle books. And it was because it got so much of a push on Facebook. There was just and one of the reasons for having co-authors in your book is because everybody was expected to push. And so they were doing a launch on that book, and everybody launched that book that day and the days after and kept it really rolling. I did if you go to mynames.com, actually maybe I can find it, because I did a case study on that process, and I thought it was awesome the way it worked. She did a great job. So let's look here at Kindle launch. See if that is it. No. Marnie. No. What was it? Relationships? What's the title of the book? Trust Your Heart. That's what it was. By the way, that's a series. She has several books that are in the Trust Your Heart category. Let's see if I do this, if it helps. Here, Amazon bestseller timeline. I'll include this in the package too, so that you guys can see exactly how it was done. But she did a great job of getting this out there, and there was a lot of stuff that I learned just by participating, and I wanted to capture all of it. So I kept the timeline in place here. Okay. But using Facebook and a Facebook group to generate enthusiasm and links was really a brilliant strategy, and she's doing that with all of her books, and it works really well. Okay, Maria is saying, what if you write in a pen name Should you still write in first person? You know, I think it's all about the persona that you want to project. So if you want to project a person who is approachable and all of that, then I would say yes. But if you want to write in a pen name where people don't ever approach you, then no, you don't want to do first person. Any other questions? Okay, folks, thank you very much for doing this, and we will we'll keep you posted in the in the challenge area on Facebook, and we will continue with this Kindle challenge next month, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So thank you very much. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.